previous year if we were in December, but we're not. Joining me this week, as always, we have Daniel.
Why, hello there.
What was that?
That was not
that
me.
That was a phone. Hold on.
That's your phone.
Hello?
That was perfectly timed, by the way.
I that's why I thought it was him. I thought he was doing some type of special introduction for himself.
I was like, wow, you've learned a few new voice tricks since the last time I was on here. Jesus.
Yeah, speaking of, I honestly don't remember the last time you were on this show.
It was the wrong number. Sorry about that. Some Spanish lady.
It happened. I can't remember.
Oh, you should have added her onto the cast.
When was the last time you were on this show, Chad?
I don't know. So the last time we talked about StarCraft, probably.
That or Catherine.
January.
So good. I haven't been on since that got announced for North American release. So whenever that happened.
Wow, that's a long time ago. Good. So yes, Chad's joining us again.
On
at
internet.
This rate, we should have Mike around next week, and then we'll just have like Chad, Anthony, and Mike all kind of appear separately. And I'm joining.
Oh, by the way, which is impressive, and I deserve props for that.
For what?
Not being hungover.
It's 5 p.m. on a Friday.
I know.
Still. You shouldn't be hungover. I could see you in the process of starting the drink, but if you're hungover at noon the next day, I think that's an issue.
Fine.
And finally, we have Adam, who's joining us for, I think, actually the fourth time now. I know you were on like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Like I said, I knew you'd be a regular.
It happens.
You know, it does. It's happened plenty of times before.
We're recording this on Friday, as I made reference to before, because at least for North America, Sunday is Mother's Day, and I didn't want to interrupt everybody's celebration with the person who gave them life and joy and all that other stuff. And if not, I'm not going to get into any type of framing issues on this show. So, in that case, anything that happens between Friday when we record and Monday when we put this up, it's not up to us. So I would just say, as of this recording, PSN is still down, which makes about 2.5 weeks since it's been down.
And suddenly we're like, yeah, it's probably going to be up on Wednesday. And Wednesday came and went.
But he said within the week.
But apparently they're in like the final stages of testing the new system or something.
Yeah, but nobody really knows what that means.
The final saying that, there's nothing to say that it goes up and then comes down again.
Well, I mean, there's also rumors that the hackers group Anonymous are threatening to have another attack this weekend and reveal like personal information of stuff they stole from people. I don't know how true that is.
I don't believe that.
They went from denying any involvement to threatening to release the stuff they weren't involved with.
Well, you see, it's they're doing it at the same time. There's a group of them that's saying it's not us, and then there's another group of us saying we did it. We're going to do it again, just to stick with Sony. So it's kind of a.
Here's the problem with Anonymous is there's like a central group, but it's easy for anyone to say, oh yeah, I'm Anonymous. I'm part of Anonymous.
Yeah, I think, and on the same hand, it's also easy for people to say that, you know, not us.
Does anyone else appreciate the fact that by declaring that you're part of Anonymous, you are no longer Anonymous?
Well, I don't think they do.
Am I the only one who loves that?
There's a whole bunch of irony with a group Anonymous making themselves so well known. But
I personally think that this time around, it's people pretending to be Anonymous because Anonymous, if you look at their history, they're hacktivists, so they use computer hacking to make a point, basically. They're not thieves. And just for them to go and steal all this information and then go, oh yeah, Sony, we're going to hit you again, is a bit... And then this think of it this way, right? The central like group is claiming to is not claiming any responsibility, which is detrimental to their cause because they want people to know that they're hacking Sony because they're activists.
I think at some point you just kind of you have to realize that if you're an activist and the people you quote unquote are protecting or defending hate your guts, it defeats the purpose because then you're just fighting for yourself, and that makes you no different than like an anarchist who just causes trouble.
I love Anonymous. I think Anonymous is great.
Well,
I'm surprised. I would assume. Well, I don't know. You're not much of an online gamer, I guess. But I would assume that PSN being down for 2.5 weeks would have driven you nuts. But I assume it also.
I've been handling it well. Portal 2 single player has kept me not missing PSN one bit.
I was about to say, I guess it kind of coincides with a lot of people's like finals week, so it's probably a good thing.
Except yeah, for definitely. Me, who wrote my finals a month ago, booyah, Canada rocks.
For normal people, though, it's like their finals week. My biggest issue is that I've had, the last time you were on here, Adam, actually mentioned that I had a Portal 2 code for Steam from the PS3 version, which I couldn't activate while PSN was down, and I still
no point.
So I ended up just buying the game for 360, because I wanted to play co-op and, you know, one of the online services is around right now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're not going to spend too much time beating up on Sony this week. We've done it for, you know, the last week or so. And at this point, I just feel bad for the company more than anything else.
This is the thing, right? Somebody was talking about what happens if Sony screws up again. I'm like, is that even possible?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, if this, that's what I was thinking about this anonymous attack. If it happens and they called it out a couple of days in advance, I mean, I would think that would be like the nail in the coffin for
and
Sony.
Here's the thing I don't understand. Is if they're threatening to reveal people's information, what will that do to Sony?
Well, it would show that, you know, like Sony could say, you know, like, oh, people got into our systems and took information, but they didn't do anything with it. But if they actually showed and people actually see like their name and stuff, I think then that would be kind of death.
I could just pick out a random name.
Yeah, but could you? That's true. You can.
I could say I have John Smith's information. He lives at. I know.
Hold on. What's up with my recording?
Mine should be fine.
Oh, okay.
I could say I have the information of John Smith. He lives at 13 West Wallaby Street. You know,
that's not a real street.
No, it's not. But
you never know.
The point is that I could just do that, and it doesn't mean anything. Just the same way that the way Sony found out that it was anonymous was some file that they found on one of their SOPs.
That was kind of stupid, but yeah. Funny at the same time.
You know, I can anyone could just put that file in there because it's not like Anonymous's name or slogan, if you call it that, isn't known because everybody knows it, especially now.
It reminds me of Home Alone and the Sticky Bandits and the Wet Bandits.
Yeah.
And I know that's an obscure reference, but just kind of tagging your work with like a note, "Hi, we're Anonymous and we just dicked you over." It's kind of adorable.
It's very easy to point the finger at Anonymous because they're just a group that people know do hacking. I don't think it's got any merits to it, though.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not going to say, okay, I don't want to get into this again because I've been into this all. Like, people are saying that, you know, everybody's kind of pointing fingers at Sony and not giving the hackers enough grief. But at the end of the day, it is still Sony's fault that. I'm not going to say it's Sony's fault that they just kind of left the back door open and somebody snuck in, but it's kind of what happened is that there was some way for a burglar to break into your house that you left your doors open.
That's the
and
thing,
unguarded.
Is if it was a house like that, your insurance wouldn't cover it because you left the door wide open.
So, you know, I think people are just upset at Sony, and people, you know, like the defense is like, nothing's infallible, nothing, you know, is unhackable, but the fact is it did get hacked, and, you know, people want responsibilities, and Anonymous is a tiny group compared to Sony, which is a multi-billion dollar corporation, and if a bunch of people in their basement could break your security, people want answers.
But in all fairness, I think Sony's been really handling the situation well. It's not like they're saying, we're sorry. They're saying, we're sorry, but here's what we're going to do to prevent this from happening. And they really have some good proof. And
I think the reason why they're doing that is because they have to, again, by law.
No, I know.
Well,
I think they do.
I mean, they have to, but I think it's kind of, and this is a terrible comparison to make, but I think it's kind of like post 9/11 America, where you can say, like, you see, nothing has happened since we've taken over, no type of major threats. And it's like, yeah, but does that mean we're safe or does that mean nobody's attempted anything? It's kind of like one or the other. It's like, Sony can say they're safer, but it could just be that nobody's trying anything because they assume Sony's safer now.
Yeah, that's true. But also, Sony's been giving, PlayStation Network people, when they come back online, they're going to get really good stuff. I mean, for only a 2 to 3 week outage, a whole month of PlayStation Plus and Curiosity is really a good deal. Plus,
yes, it's a good deal for Sony because they get free advertisement. Yeah.
Well, this reminds me a lot of the whole three red lights thing.
Three red rings.
The only difference is Microsoft paid out millions of dollars on that.
Which I just recently got again. but be that as it may, yeah, it's like they, Microsoft got sued into oblivion, and that's why they had to institute this extended warranty program. And I feel like Sony's kind of preemptively saying, hey guys, no, you get this, and you get this, and you get this, and you get this, please don't sue us.
And they just,
they're already being sued.
Profit out of it.
They're being sued in the States, and they're being sued in your neck of the woods. I think Canada has like a $1 billion lawsuit against them.
Nonsense. We don't sue people.
Yes, you do. Apparently, you're all earning the American way. I mean, Sony,
we don't even know what the word sue means.
Sony had to present their case in front of this United States Congress, and I believe they have to present it in front of they presented it in front of Japan's, I guess, equivalent of Congress or whatever this past week. So it hasn't been a good week for them, but you know, at the end of the day, I've never held this whole hacking thing against them. I personally thought they kind of handled the situation odgy the first week. The second week, or whatever we're on now, has been kind of better because they had the press conference at the start of the week. And they've been giving kind of regular updates on the blog. You know, they even had, like, I guess the president of Sony apologize on the blog in a formal letter. And they had, you know, like they had the blog post saying that they're entering final testing and stuff. So it's a bit more, it's better now that they're more open and honest and communicating with their fans instead of keeping people in the dark for a week.
Well, at the start, I think it was they were just hoping they'd, like, they were breached, they'd fix it, get everything back up, and if they did it quickly enough, no one would really notice. It's been such a problem for so long, they're like, okay, we actually have to deal with this now, because people are wondering what the fuck's going on.
I think that's the problem, though. It's like, you can't just sweep it under the rug and hope for the best and nobody notices.
No, but I think that's probably what they were trying to do.
I don't think Sony anticipated how many people there are on PSN that do nothing but play Black Ops online.
And that's the other thing. It's like the long-term ramifications for this, because, yes, Call of Duty is the biggest multiplayer game of this generation. And people who, I know there's people who probably bought 360s because the first week they couldn't play Black Ops, they wanted to play Black Ops. They buy a 360 and a copy of that game. I'm sure Activision loves it. But yeah, and I'm kind of curious to see where it affects them in the future and what they do with it come E3. But just so we don't harp on Sony again for half a podcast, we're moving on. There was, you know, a ton of news across the board this week. I guess if we're going to go with competing systems, we should start with Nintendo officially announcing a price drop for the Wii in the States, and I believe it's Europe as well, right? I know they announced the Nintendo Direct, and I don't know if they announced a price drop.
I think we get a price drop too.
Okay, so the Wii dropped to $150 in the States.
Good news for the four people out there who don't have one.
You know, I've heard that, I mean, okay, not that the Wii hasn't reached the point of saturation, but I think there has never been a history of a console that has dropped this price and not seen a sales spike. And I could see people who are either, you know, like been on the fence about it. You know, everybody says there's no games for the Wii, but there are games I'm sure people want to test out, and for $150, it becomes a better impulse buy. Or I could see like parents buying it for, like, you know, like maybe using it as a Netflix player in a spare bedroom or for their kids or something like that.
I got to be honest, though. I'm surprised they're doing it now and not waiting for the release of Zelda to do it. Like, that seems like a good timing. Like, hey, Zelda's out and also it's cheap.
This is to build hype for it. I mean, what they've also done is they've taken out Wii Sports out of the bundle and put in Mario Kart. That's definitely going to get hardcore gamers excited, but I'll get to this later, but the casual crowd, it's just confusing and upsetting.
I think so, but on the, you know, they were nice enough to just kind of say, hey, you can buy Wii Sports for $20 instead of trying to sell it as a new game for $50 or something like that.
Yeah, true.
But yeah,
it's going to confuse a lot of people. It really is.
To mention, Wii Sports is kind of the showpiece game that says, like, here's what this is capable of.
Exactly.
So, and Mario Kart doesn't do that at all.
Wait, hang on. Does this still come with the Wii Sports Resort?
No, it just comes with Mario Kart now.
I know. Oh, well, that's strange because Wii Sports Resort really showed what the thing was capable of, especially Motion Plus as well.
Yeah,
Mario,
but then
you make use of hardly any of that.
You
get the wheel.
Yeah, but okay, you can tilt it back and forth. That's like a tenth of what that thing's capable.
So I know a lot of people, especially like a year ago when they bought. They would see a Wii and they'd go, wow! And that would be because they can see people playing tennis on Wii Sports or, you know, or doing the sword fighting or whatever it is on Wii Sports Resort. So, I mean, if it's fun and it's a good tech demo of what the Wii is actually good at doing, then I don't see why they would take it out.
I think they wanted to take it out because it's probably reached the point where Wii Sports, as impressive as it is, it doesn't really... I'm not going to say it doesn't bring in a new audience, I guess. I guess it's kind of like people know what it is, and the people who would be wowed into buying it because of Wii Sports already have it. The other one, and this is probably a bit more cynical answer, is that the Wii software sales have kind of been down. So if you take out Wii Sports and you sell it for $20 on its own and people start buying it with their system, yeah, it makes it a lot more promising when, Wii Sports is the number one selling game in blah, blah, blah month. And that's a bit more cynical of an answer. But honestly, I think that's the one.
Yeah, probably.
Either that or they're going to come out, like, you know, they're going to say, like, you can buy Wii Sports Resorts, Wii Fit, Wii Play Motion, Wii Music, and just have like a whole line of like Wii games in a store. And like, this is the Wii line of titles. These are the ones you should buy.
One thing they've also done is they've dropped the prices of Wii Party and Wii Sports Resort to only $40. So, I mean, that's effective May 24th. This price drop for the Wii is effective May 15th. So new owners are definitely going to want it. Yeah. I think they should bundle Wii Sports and Wii Sports Resort, though, for like $40. I think that would be a pretty good deal.
That would be good, too. The other thing that's kind of odd, but it makes sense, is that they bundled the Wiimote Plus.
Yeah.
Even though Mario Kart doesn't use it at all and nothing in the package does, they have it bundled included. So yeah, and in addition to a price drop and the new SKU, they announced the Nintendo Select line, which I guess is their generation version of the Player's Choice or Platinum Hits or Greatest
Classics.
Hits. Yeah. So it's kind of a weak intro. It's only
it's only the beginning though.
Yeah, but it's Twilight Princess, it's Wii Sports, it's
WarioWare
and Mario Baseball. Oh, Animal Crossing. It varies on regions because I don't think Europe gets Zelda. They get
WarioWare.
They get WarioWare and they get Mario Soccer. And we get Mario Baseball and Animal Crossing and Zelda. And yeah, I think it's, you know, Zelda's tempting. Wii Sports is a good price. The other two are kind of iffy. You know, I expect them, I hope they do it, you know, add maybe 3 or 4 every 2 months or so. What it really should showcase, though, are like third-party titles that they think are good or got good reviews, because those probably need the sales boost better than Nintendo titles do.
Yeah.
So, you know, like if you had Nintendo CX No More Heroes or Nintendo CX Red Steel 2 or something like that, where you kind of, you know, I've always, you know, I said this before, I think the whole idea of not dropping the price of their software was probably one of the worst decisions Nintendo's made this generation. And I think something like the Nintendo Select sign really would have helped third parties, you know, kind of rise above the sea of shovelware that the system's known for, where it's like, oh, you have this bunch of crap, but these are, it's kind of like the silver proof, like these are games that Nintendo kind of says are quality assured for new owners and stuff like that. And I think that would have helped.
And especially the name that they've given to it, Nintendo Select, it kind of emphasizes that. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and the box art looks pretty cool. We shall see.
Wait, really?
Have you not seen the box art?
That box art makes me want to vomit.
Really? I mean, compared to some of the other ones that we've had,
the Konami classics on DS.
Oh, the Konami one was awesome.
It would have the DS. It would have a picture of the DS box.
DS box art.
The DS box. That's brilliant.
One thing that's interesting, it's called Nintendo Select, so they might bring this soon to Nintendo DS and eventually the 3DS as well.
And yeah, I assume that's going to be the thing carrying forward, but I don't see how it's different than the Player Choice 9.
It's not at all.
Except I think Player Choice had to be on the market for like 6 months and sell that million copies or something stupid like that. This doesn't seem to have any type of requirement, or at least none that they announced. So there's that. In a news that shocked in all the internet world, and I think we're still really in after this big announcement, Mass Effect 3 was delayed.
I'm not surprised at all.
I don't think anybody was.
Yeah, no.
I believe the first two Mass Effects were also delayed at some point in there. So it's kind of like having a Valve game delayed on you. It's more expected than it is surprising. It's delayed into early 2012, which... knowing them, it'd probably be a January release title, because that's what they did with Mass Effect 2, and that's what they did with Mass Effect 2 for PS3.
I wasn't helped by the again crowded full release schedule.
Yeah, but you know,
and their mother releasing on the 11th of the 11th.
Yeah, but we always say that. It's like every year.
Yeah, but this year in particular, because 11th of the 11th appears to be the day to do it instead of the month. It's the day.
But it's usually like people get their games out like the 2 weeks before Black Friday, Thanksgiving here in the States, because like that is like the prime shopping season for us. So for example, you know, like Nintendo has their big game is always the Sunday before Thanksgiving, Black Friday. So like you don't even know it. Most likely it's gonna be Zelda this year, but you can already know that Nintendo's gonna have a game on Sunday, November 20th this year.
Yeah.
And if not Zelda, it's probably gonna be like Super Mario 3DS because that's their weekend. They've done it every year since I think Metroid Prime on the GameCube in 2002. But yeah, so Mass Effect 3-8. Welcome, Jason.
Hi, everyone.
So yeah, you just missed us talking about Mass Effect 3-8.
At least it gives me more time to go through the first and second again.
True.
It's funny, I could almost hear him pitch a tent when you said Mass Effect.
Well, we had to have him on Suicide Watch when they announced that it was going to be delayed until next year, so...
Yeah, I cried a little bit on the inside. I mean, now I have more time, I guess, to play the other games that we're going to get.
See, I was thinking about that, but I mean, at least to me personally, the 360 lineup becomes a lot weaker without Mass Effect this year.
What do you mean? You got Call of Duty, that's all you need.
You got Call of Duty, you got Gears of War, and that's...
Even ignoring Call of Duty, I mean, some of these are cross-platform, obviously, but there's going to be Skyrim, Arkham City, Gears 3... Battlefield 3, Jurassic Park, 3. Forza 4, and then on the PS3, there's also Uncharted 3.
Well, PS3 has a fine lineup.
Rage.
I haven't denied that PS3 has probably the most stellar lineup of the year. It's kind of weird that people always bring up the number. I think PS3 has something like 12 or 13 exclusive titles out this year. Or East versus.
See, I have a problem with that because, I mean, part of it is personal taste, but part of it is those... Their exclusives aren't that good.
I'm not going to say they weren't that
good. This coming from the guy who loves Mass Effect.
You don't like Mass Effect?
I dislike that game intensely.
Fair what? Enough.
We're the not first gonna... one was good. I liked the first one. Second one, nah.
See, that's personal taste, and that's fine. And for me, something like Killzone is like, okay, I don't really like that, but other people do, which is fine. But then there's...
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that
SOCOM.
One, too.
Yeah, like, but like, SOCOM's getting panned in reviews, and like, that's not the only one. I mean, they just don't.
This is the problem with PS3's exclusives tend to be quantity over quality.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I've said this before, but if you compare even Killzone 3, right? When you compare it to, I don't know, Halo Reach, you get so much more for your money when it comes to Halo Reach. And. I don't know. It just seems like...
Is that true?
Yeah,
though?
Like, you can't be like, okay, yeah, there's Halo's one Xbox exclusive and Killzone's one PS3 exclusive because Halo is a lot more... It's better and it's more valuable to
Okay. Better's subjective. Better's and we're subjective. Still not getting into that. But I will
Does
say...
Does anyone here think Killzone is better than Halo?
It seems... it feels like that more is put into Halo than it is a Killzone game. Because in Halo, you've got the 8-hour... campaign, not a 4-hour campaign. You've got co-op, offline, and online with that campaign. You've got the level editor. You've got the theater. You've got the multiplayer, which is infinitely expandable. I mean, I don't know if you saw it, but someone managed to make a map which basically is Portal in Halo.
You forgot to mention the fact that Killzone comes on a system that works.
It doesn't.
Well, yeah, but if you've only got a 4-hour campaign and your network goes down for 2 weeks,
can we stop picking up?
It's hard to compare these.
But at least I can turn my PS3 on.
Okay.
I'm just really bitter, okay? I'm really bitter right now.
The more effort is put into the games, it's not to do with the system. The games, I feel more effort is put into the 360 exclusives when they actually release.
I'd say that's accurate, or at least it appears that way.
Yeah, but it appears that way. But I mean, all these different companies are working on them, and they have different visions and different complications. There's no real way to really compare a company like Bungie to a company like Guerrilla Games. I mean, well, it's almost impossible.
That's true. What I was going to say, and this is the only measurement I usually use for this type of stuff, is that, and people hate when you say this, is that if you round up pretty much the, I think at this point there's probably been like five PS3 exclusives out this year. There's been Little Big Planet, there's been DC Universe Online, SOCOM, Heroes on the
Yakuza
Move.
Yakuza 4.
Well, I'm talking about like first party titles. And MotorStorm kind of snuck out on people. I think that's out this past
week. Little Big Planet 2, did you say that?
Yeah, I said that. And if you compare it, and this is probably something people don't want to hear, is like you have these five games, and at the end of the day, they probably will just combine to reach the sales of Reach. And I think that's kind of the issue Sony's had with their first and second party titles this generation are. It's not that they're bad games. I have Uncharted. I have Ratchet. It's that they don't they do well critically, they just don't do well commercially. It's like people kind of don't care about their franchises because they don't do anything unique and special. Like even Gran Turismo 5, which is kind of like the biggest IP. It sells to a niche audience. It sells to like car lovers, and it's a huge market, but it really doesn't sell to anybody who doesn't like Gran Turismo already. Where I think like with Reach and you get Halos and kind of Gears, you kind of get new people. Because like your friends are playing it and you want to play it with them, and you play it at their house and you mess around with different features and stuff like that. And part of it, again, as we mentioned before, is just the way they use their beta system, where it's more of an extended demo than it is like, I can see my effort in this beta went to the final game and how it made it better. But like I said, we're not beating up on Sony again this week too much.
I think the only way to not beat up on Sony is just to not talk about Sony. That's got to be the only way.
You see, if we don't talk about Sony, I think people are going to be more upset about it for ignoring Sony. In news that thrills me to no end, Konami has announced their pre-E3 press conference this year for June 2nd, and I still can't wait.
If Tak Fuji is talking, then I'm watching that. That is going to make my day.
I'm watching. The only thing is...
Did you see they're live streaming it?
Yeah.
I saw there one last year. It was just facepalm the entire time.
No, it was so bad. It was awesome.
Exactly, yeah.
And I had to sit through that entire goddamn thing last year.
I sat through it both painful. Times.
I loved it. I loved every second of it. The Mexican wrestlers having a slap fight, brilliant.
Against the Mexican wrestlers, the choir, the...
Dancing, so much, Russell Simmons. It was a great show from top to bottom. See, the other problem I have with that is that they either see that people made a mockery of their show last year and they take it serious this year, which defeats the purpose.
Or they overpass.
They have to go all the way crazy.
Yeah, they try to do crazy again, and it's kind of like, it's going to be like Harold and Kumar 2, where it becomes too self-referential, and it kind of isn't fun because it's like, oh, we know this is supposed to be funny. This is funny the first time around.
Another thing they're doing is they're actually doing pre-E3 events throughout the whole country. So in different cities across the U.S., they're having different pre-E3 events. I know they announced they're having one in Miami. They're having a couple Mexican cities or whatnot. But they're going to be around and they're going to invite – I think it's an invite-only thing for journalists and for gamers and for hardcore Konami fans. And they get to play all the E3 games. They get to have a good time.
That's pretty cool.
I think
I have a question. What's Konami showing this year?
That was the other thing I was going to ask about.
Metal Gear Rising.
Oh, see, that's what I was going to want.
Oh, good one. Because
other than that, I got nothing.
Something's dead. I remember they announced that.
But I was kind of curious because being that it's free E3, it takes place before the big three's press conferences, is that most of them like to keep those things close to their chest, so it's a surprise. So if they have like a huge game they're going to announce, I would assume that Sony or Microsoft would really want it to be done at their press conference and not Konami's. But yeah, mm-hmm. they have Metal Gear Solid Rise and they have Silent Hill Downpour. I'm sure they probably have like a Castlevania in the works for something.
I don't know. See, it's a kind of early. Dr. I feel like more maybe next year.
Well, I honestly wouldn't be surprised to see another Metal Gear get announced this year.
I kind of
don't want them to, but yeah. I get this feeling like it's probably going to happen.
Well, I mean, if you take their word that they believe that,
I bet they'll do a Kinect Katamari or something.
Oh, if they believe that Peace Walker was Metal Gear Solid 5, I would assume that they're working on a real console version of Metal Gear Solid 6 instead of Ryzen, which seems to be like a side story type game, even if it's taken like 2 years to develop and show more of.
Well, the gameplay would suggest that it is a side.
Zone of the Enders 2?
And you can't. It probably has.
If they announce another Zone of the Enders game.
See, again, it's something, it's stuff like that, which I see if they're going to announce it. I see it being at Sony's press conference or Microsoft or whoever decides to get that, and not at their own press conference. Because, you know, you get more focus when you announce something at the Big Three's press conference, it seems, instead of doing it at your own. Or, you know, you announce it at the morning and then you show it on at your own. We shall see. But, you know, it's nice that you get that hope. It's a week before E3, so you kind of get some news going. I'm kind of curious if G4 is going to show it and stuff. What else is there? A new Assassin's Creed was announced this week. Assassin's Creed. Wow. Okay.
I'm a little nervous about it.
There were so many positive reactions to this.
Okay, can I just rant about it really quick? I'm actually stoked. I think the concept is awesome, which for those of you that didn't follow, it's going to be like a dual story. It's going to have Altair and Ezio, but it's finishing Ezio's story, and it's going to revolve around like Constantinople and the Ottoman Empire, which that sounds fine. I just want fucking Assassin's Creed 3 already. I'm sick of these side stories. I want the real thing. And they've been hinting that the real sequel is coming this year, and now we have another side story.
Yeah, but they did the math. They realized as soon as they release Assassin's Creed 3 and theoretically sum up the series, it's going to be really difficult to go back to. So they're just trying to jam as much into the middle as they can.
No, they can't they can't release it annually anymore. That's what it is.
No, they can, though. They've said they have ideas for like 7 or 8 games already. Do you think they're going to stop after they release 3? No, it's not a trilogy plan. They're just going to keep going.
Is anyone going to care about this Ezio/Altair game if it comes out after Assassin's Creed 3?
No, but they could do a side story with whoever the Assassin's Creed 3 person is.
Awesome.
But then that's one fewer game they get to make. They're just trying to make as many games
they are. And that's, I think, what people's issues with it right now is that this officially cemented as a sequel with 3 in a row. 2, you know, I can kind of get away with. But 3, I think, is when you descend into Madden and Call of Duty territory.
Well, I don't even have a problem so much with the annual release. I was just really bummed that it's not the real sequel. All right.
Well, I mean, like, I guess I have to play the game for more stories, but I was going to say, like, what makes it a real sequel? But I assume that 1 and 2 have a certain storyline that's not continued in Brotherhood.
No, it's... they use... So 1 and 2 have different protagonists.
Yeah, but they have Desmond as their...
But Desmond is the continuous part. But Brotherhood and this are going to use the same historical protagonist.
So I haven't played Brotherhood for the very reason that it's not Assassin's Creed 3. But does that deal with the whole Abstergo thing at all? Or is it all just like past stuff?
I'm trying to remember. I want to say it does, but not as much as I feel like a 3 would have.
Okay.
Like, Brotherhood's very good, and you do learn a lot about the series, like Mythos, and I would recommend playing it, but...
Okay. I might check it out then.
The one thing I am interested about Revelations is how they're going to expand the multiplayer, because it was surprisingly good in Brotherhood. But again, that would have been so cool with 3. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I mean, you can always get 3 at this rate, maybe in January. And there's also the word from the new Game Informer of Rayman Origins, which is now a 4-player co-op game as well.
That's interesting.
That's kind of cool. I mean,
it's an interesting.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, it's from the new Game Informer that dropped today. It doesn't say anything about online, but, you know, it's kind of like, I guess, New Super Mario Bros. Wii, where the levels are designed for single player and multiplayer.
Is it still a arcade PSN title?
Nice.
Yeah. And it's due this year for the 360 and PS3. I guess they made it while on break from Beyond Good and Evil 2. I'm sure people are excited to hear
that. We haven't heard about since this teaser trailer. Why are they having a break already?
Just like Valve do with Episode 3.
I'm pretty convinced Episode 3 is just never going to happen now.
I believe that Episode 3 was already released and they just didn't tell anybody. It's probably on Steam if you look for it.
Episode 3 will not come out. Like, no, it will be Half-Life 3.
Yeah.
That's, I guess, episodic games are kind of iffy. Because, I mean, we're almost at, 8 months since Sonic Episode 1? And we still haven't heard word 2 about Episode 2. So
yeah, I mean, no one's really done Episode right except for like Telltale.
Yeah, because what is it, like once a month for them or something like that, or once every 2 months or something? I don't know. Also, word came out this week that L.A. Noire will be a 3-disc game on 360 and one Blu-ray.
Woohoo!
Here's the thing: is people are automatically assuming that you have to swap discs, right? And I don't think that's how it will be. Like, I don't know if any of you recall. I mean, I didn't even play Forza 3 and I knew this. Forza 3 came on 2 discs. And one of them you just had to install to the hard drive.
Well, I mean, I guess at the
point... And even if you have to swap discs, I mean, so what?
I don't see what's so bad about having to swap your discs. I mean...
People are extremely lazy.
I don't understand how entitled gamers as a culture freaking are.
Back in 1997, nobody complained when you had to do it for Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, so. But there was no real other option. It's not like there was a version out there that was a 1-disc Final Fantasy VII game.
Okay, I know I'm in the minority on this, but I like the multiple discs. It makes me feel like I'm getting longer. More.
Yeah.
Well,
it's like it's going, and it is going back to the PS1 days where it's like these epic games were span multiple discs, and it was like a special experience.
And let's
so put few games do it now.
At least we know with L.A. Noire, it will be probably 3 discs of gameplay.
Yeah.
Unlike Final Fantasy, which was 13, which was a lot of FMVs.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing with L.A. Noire, where there is a good amount of gameplay on it, but what's really taking up the space on those discs is the new face capturing
technique. And apparently there's a lot of dialogue as well.
And the dialogue, yeah, all that is just taking up so much data.
It's going to add to the game, unlike the FMVs in Final Fantasy, which didn't really add anything to the game.
Some people would argue those the best part of the game.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Well, I was going to say that with the announcement of it being 1 disc and having exclusive cases, I'm going to go with the PS3 version. I assume it's just going to be easier on me. And I haven't really used my system.
I can't wait for the impending graphics comparisons.
On InfoG, where there's going to be 50 articles from like 10 different sources.
50 articles, because the chances are, because the same thing happened with GTA 4 and Red Dead Redemption, that the game will probably look better on 360 regardless of how many discs it has. Everyone's going to complain about it and go, you can't.
Parties aren't Rockstar taking advantage of the PS3.
Yeah, Rockstar can't win with this, can they?
As far as I'm
concerned, the fact that it's 3 discs is not going to affect my purchase decision at all.
Well, I think, like I said, it's the 3 discs and the fact that I think PS3 has exclusive cases for the game.
So annoying. And there's DLC cases as well.
And retailer exclusive cases. For me, the cases are so splintered already that I don't care about that so much. But,
well, I mean, assuming you can probably get the retail exclusive ones at some point.
You will be able to at a later date.
But I don't know if you get the PS3 content on the 360.
I don't mind. It's not like I can go out and buy the PS3 copy even if I wanted to anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming that you'll probably have a fire sale on PS3 at the moment on eBay, so you should check that out.
That's if I wanted to own another console.
Maybe you need to activate your PS3 version.
I'm going to go out and buy the PC version, actually. I'm going to boycott the PC version of L.A. Noire, because there is none.
Oh, there isn't?
No, there was no PC version of Red Dead Redemption. And
I'm actually fine
with that, because I'd rather have no PC version than a bad port, which Rockstar is known for. But yeah.
What are you talking about? Grand Theft Auto 4 was flawless on PC.
Bully? They try and play Bully on PC. It's horrible.
Well, Bully on any console, I think, except for PS2.
Okay. Bully works? Oh, that's pushing it a little bit, Chad.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
All Okay, so are we done with our little tangent here?
Yeah.
That was a tangent? Oh, yeah, it was. Right.
The topic this show is all about tangents.
I don't mind tangents. I was just curious if you folks were done.
Does that mean we can get to the math section of iTunes now?
Perhaps. That's a terrible joke. But and again, I always say we don't do
you
it.
You could say that we're tangentially related to math.
I don't really deal with rumors, but, you know, there's just so many of them out today that I just wanted to touch on them since they're all from Camp Microsoft. So, word is that the successor for the Xbox is going to be at E3, and word is that the successor for the Xbox won't be at E3. So,
well, the word is that EA has a development kit.
Yes, and EA is now denying that. So
people are assuming that it would be at E3. But
I don't think it will be.
I don't think there's a development kit. I think it would be incredibly stupid to have a new console for them this early. Their real console still costs $300. They have much more than one year and a half to get a lot more out of it. The 360 hasn't even reached its peak yet. Like, why would you sabotage that by releasing a new system?
The 360 has been an interesting system, I think. Actually, the 360 and the PS3 have been an interesting system as far as peaks go, because they kind of started low and they went higher, where most systems start high and go low. Kind of like the curve of the Wii, where, you know, it skyrocketed really far and then it's dropping really fast. But these kind of started low and built up. And now I would assume they would start going on their decline in the next year and a half.
But people have been saying that for years, and it's not happening. So until that happens,
well, I think it's because one is that it's hard to say the PS3 and the 360 will both go down as really successful consoles. I think, you know, depending on your company of choice, one would have done better than the other because of where Microsoft was coming into this generation and where PlayStation was coming in from this generation. But both would have done well at the end of this generation. I just think that it's been such an odd generation because of how the prices started so high that the early adopters kind of existed for like the first three and a half years. And then when they started dropping prices, and especially with Kinect, you kind of saw that huge thing. But I really think that bubble is going to pop and drop back down to normal levels faster than people expect.
Well, considering the how many Kinect games have been released?
That was my thing. It's like Microsoft, you know, like there's a bunch of rumors about this game and that game for Kinect. But for the most part, since its initial launch, it hasn't really been...
Kinect is suffering PS3 syndrome in the sense that it comes out, it's got no games for it.
Right, so they still have that to do, though.
Well,
like, I don't think
if they do it...
Given how successful Kinect has been, why would they just abandon it?
I'm not saying they're going to abandon it, but I'm
going to say if they release a new console, that's exactly what they're going
to
be doing.
Well, no, because it seems that Kinect is going to be integral to this console based on rumors, which I...
That's the thing. Is
it would be an
in which case it will come bundled with Kinect, so it doesn't matter one way or the other.
I don't even think it's going to come bundled with Kinect. I think it's going to be built into the system. Well, not built into the system,
that's what I mean.
But yeah. And I think that won't be like you kind of set the groundwork and you kind of get developers interested and you kind of get them working on that and familiar with it. And then you launch with a bunch of more interesting Kinect 2 and Xbox 720. I hate that name. Content. Because at this point, I mean, again, E3 is in a month, and I really, you know, we can change our opinions on everything. But right now, what does Microsoft have in 2012?
They haven't said anything.
What do we ever know what they have a year and a half later? What do we know Sony has next year?
Guardian.
We know there's SSX. We know there's Mass Effect. We know there's Bioshock Infinite. We know there's XCOM. There's all these games that we're going to learn about a lot more. I don't think there's any reason. I think it would be a...
But I'm talking about like exclusive like 360 titles, and yes, we don't know.
Kingdoms, the next Halo. We don't know. It's too early to say.
I was going to touch on is that Kingdom is apparently a first-person melee game for Kinect.
Crytek, what have you done?
No. It's the rumor says Kinect compatible.
Oh, okay. So the rumor got upgraded because when I saw it this morning, it said it was a Kinect title.
There goes my hopes that Kingdoms was secretly Time Splitters 4.
No, because from what I saw the teaser trailer, it did not affect it's a Kinect game.
Well, they could be making that push for that hardcore Kinect game. Honestly, if you're going to have a motion-based game, one that's based around swords and shit is the way to go.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's the... But as a whole, I think a lot of gamers are just kind of... opposed to that type of games in general. Like, it doesn't matter. It could be like the next Metal Gear Solid that's Kinect only, and people still won't because they don't want to deal with Kinect because they think it's ruining their hobby and they don't want to support that aspect of it.
I don't know. I think if you made like a legit, like real, like lightsaber based game, not this stupid Clone Wars thing that they're coming out with, people will be lining up for that.
I honestly don't. I mean, again, I want to be proven wrong, but we've had games. I mean, there are decent games on the move that are kind of quote unquote, you know, hardcore and sophisticated in the sense that they take more skill, which is what a lot of people complain about with the Wii, is that, you know, you just waggle and stuff happens. But, you know, Move came out, it's more accurate, it's more precise, whatever. And it had these games where you needed actual skill, and it still didn't do anything because at the end of the day, I don't think that's what the hardcore gamers are looking for. I just don't think they really want to support motion because it's too much work for them. And this,
well,
this growth,
that's up to them, but I mean, at the end of the day, that's not even the main market for those devices, so it doesn't matter.
See, that's the type of attitude they have, though. It's like, it's not for us, so why should we care? So you could throw a bunch of games at them, and they still won't, because to them...
Well, they're not obligated to support it, but it doesn't. It's not going to stop Microsoft from trying, because if they do, all it's going to take is one game, and if they get that killer app game to get the hardcore on board, then they're just going to get all the money from those people.
I really think what you're going to end up with is you're going to end up with a bunch of people complaining that this, you know, this game would have been better with a controller, or, you know, like, I don't quite how they, if this is Kinect only, I'm not going to buy it. I'll wait for a controller version or something like that. And it happens. I mean, look how many people are complaining about Skyward Sword, and that's not even out yet.
Yeah, but, well, comparing hardcore gamers to Zelda fans, I don't think that's a very good comparison anyway, because no matter what Nintendo do with Zelda,
you're damned if you
they
do,
complain
you're
that,
if you
yeah.
Don't. Yeah, I was complaining about this on Twitter. I think, I was going to say Zelda fans are my most hated, but it's actually Smash Brothers fans who I really despise.
Hardcore Smash Brothers fans ruined that game for me, or that franchise, I should say.
Yeah. I love the games, but I hate the fans. Oh, you know, Melee's better because you could do wave dashing and figure eight skating and all this other stuff.
People just treat it so seriously, like it's like a tournament game like Street Fighter or something, and originally that's not the it's supposed to be like a party game. I don't know,
it is, and then people kind of found all these things, and that's the thing that always got me with it's like people, you know, like it's anime and it's stuff that people discover and stuff that's in it, maybe, you know, maybe Nintendo intended for people to know it, but it's kind of like advanced techniques, and because they removed it out of Brawl, it's like, you know, Nintendo ruined this franchise. And I'm just thinking, like, maybe they never intended it to be in there in the first place, and you discovered it, and now that they took it out, you're a post. And yeah, Smash for the fans get on my nerve big time. But yeah, that's besides the point. But yeah, we all should see. And again, like I said, my opinion of Microsoft can change come 2012. But as it stands right now, we know, and I don't think anybody would disagree, that their biggest two franchises are Gears and Halo. We know Gears.
Maybe they're trying to get a new system out before the world ends.
We know that Gears is out this year, and the rumor.
Wait. 2012, Mass Effect 3, Reaper's coming. Any coincidence here? I think it's your
mind overlooking, overanalyzing things.
Yeah. But anyhow, and I guess the other rumor is that the Halo Combat Evolved remake is out this year in November.
I hope they don't. Honest, I love Halo, like, so much, and I hope they don't. I mean, it's just odd. No, I don't think it could recapture the magic of the first one.
I don't think Halo Combat Evolved is as good as people remember.
I think what's going to happen is they're going to end up making it, and they're going to make it with some of the modern touches that, like, Halo Reach and ODST.
But even level design, people forget that it's the same game twice. And if they did that nowadays, they would get flamed for it.
I know if it does come out, I'm probably going to end up having to eat my words because I would have gone and bought it. But
like some people in Call of Duty.
I haven't bought one for a while.
It still counts if you get it as a gift.
But I think
I didn't ask for it.
I think
that doesn't count. You can't berate him for that.
If they were going to remake a Halo game, I would like them to remake 2. Just make it just like instead of just remaking it. Start it from scratch and remove the crappy story because I don't like Halo 2 at all. But that's never going to happen.
But yeah, I mean, it makes sense. This is the 10-year anniversary of Halo. They don't have a Halo game in the making.
Holy crap, I'm old.
Yes, we are.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, we should see how this goes. I mean, the thing is, then, does Daniel have an issue with this? Because technically, this would be the third general for Hillary's. Does
no,
it then be?
Because
yeah. ODST in 2009, Reach in 2010. And
ODST was a side.
Are we going to choose technicalities now?
Well, Brotherhood and the other thing are side stories too.
Well, okay, side story. I meant more like expansion.
It's not an expansion.
It's not an expansion at all.
It was supposed to be
a standalone full-priced game.
It was Halo 3's multiplayer.
As far as I'm concerned, it's a bit different because
literally
because now Bungie, if Halo 1 does come out and it's remade, it wouldn't be Bungie that's doing it.
But it's not the same as Assassin's Creed.
And it'd be a game that I have already played, and it wouldn't be a new game.
Isn't that worse?
You're still going to buy it.
I'm still going to buy it, but I don't know. I hope they don't buy it.
Just think he's going to buy Time Shining 4.
Oh, dude, I'm praying for an E3 reveal.
Who isn't?
Speaking of E3, and I guess that's it for the news, and it's probably not enough time to do what we're playing, but being at E3 is actually just a month away by the time this comes out. We're going to start our pre-E3, stuff. We're going to have a big pre-E3 show before E3, but I'd like to get some stuff out on the record. And being that we have 4 weeks, I figured we'd do one for the third parties and then one for each console maker, and this week we're going to do third parties. So I mean, we can start off the bat with Time Finish 4 because I know it's a game that Daniel and apparently half of my Twitter feed wants because I apparently
yes.
buy it for them if it gets announced at E3. I don't know how that happened.
You agreed to it. That's how it happened.
I did not agree to anything like that.
Oh, really?
But yeah.
It better happen. If it does not happen, right, I'll march over because I know exactly where Crytek's headquarters is in the UK. I will go down there. I will knock on their door and I'll say, "Look."
I thought their headquarters were in Germany.
Well, the UK headquarters. They've got a UK headquarters, the UK arm, if you will. I'm going to go down there and go, "Look, I don't care what you've got to say to me. You are making me Timesplitters 4 right now. You don't make an announcement that Timesplitters fans will apparently be happy about and then not announce a Timesplitters game. Even if they haven't
made and then release Haze.
Oh, someone said to me,
Haze was really fun.
Yeah, somebody said to me, "What if it's Haze?" And I was like, "I will so kill them. I will kill them." I mean, I know I played the demo for Haze, and although I thought it was fun, Haze is not Timesplitters.
No, not even close.
It's not.
I bet you it'll be even more obscure, and it'll be a Second Sight 2.
Second Sight was kind of cool.
Second Sight was good, but it's not Timesplitters. That's all I care about. It's not Timesplitters.
So what if Time Shinners comes out and it's just like a clone of Call of Duty?
They will never do that. I was saying that.
Crysis,
and they did it, didn't they?
Yeah. But it doesn't matter because if it's a
they know the kind
but
of follow.
If it has the Time Splitters staples like Robofish and monkeys and all this crazy shit, like that's what makes Time Splitters.
Yes,
it does. I think because the people at Crytek UK are pretty much the people from Free Radical. I don't think they would do that ever. I mean, it's different if it's Crytek because it's not their thing, but Crysis even because it's not their thing. But I think they could never do that to their baby Time Splitters.
I think, Timesplitters was originally basically a GoldenEye clone. I mean, granted, from the GoldenEye people, but...
Yeah, but at least then...
Don't you think they would get rid of the GoldenEye things like the health bar and just replace it with holding two weapons and regenerating health?
Well, true, but I don't know.
In that sense, I think it'll copy Call of Duty, but I mean, it's not going to be Space Marines is, like scripted events.
Nowadays, I was playing. I got the feeling of playing Singularity, right? Because Singularity does not have regenerating health; it has a health bar and health packs. And I didn't like it, but whenever I go back and play Future Perfect, I like it. Like, the fact that it's got health bars and health packs, it just suits Timesplitters a lot more than it does something like Singularity. So I don't know what I would do.
But I don't feel like...
It's hard for me to imagine a time split with regenerating health.
But it's hard for most people to imagine a modern shooter
without regenerating health. Yeah,
which I think is a bigger problem. But I don't think that'll break. You know, that won't make it not time splitters if it doesn't have it.
It won't, but I think it's kind of like, I think the thing with time splitting is for its time was that it was different than any other shooter on the market.
And it still would be.
But if it has like regenerating health, if it has two weapons.
But the mechanics weren't what made it different. I mean, it was GoldenEye or Perfect Dark.
Yeah, well, but at the time there was no other games like there was no, you know, like everything was kind of doing that Halo dual analog type.
All
the quirky stuff.
You say that, but time splitters, if you compare time splitters to and time splitters Future Perfect, with Future Perfect you can tell what they did is they looked at what Halo did well and copied it. They have the woman speaking in your ear. They have a lot more. It's a lot more. The story is a lot more concentrated, and you have. I was gonna say you have the dual wielding, but you've been able to dual wield in time splitters forever. You can tell though, it's been influenced a lot by Halo, and it worked because I can name one other game that was influenced a lot by Halo, and you can tell, and it didn't work for, and that was Serious Sam. And I think that I don't know if they. If they had all the wacky stuff and they had regenerating health, it would still be a time splitters game because it's the thing that makes a time splitters game is the humor.
Yeah.
So yeah. The humor, massive selection of crazy characters that make no sense whatsoever, and the easy and just how easy it is to just jump into a game and play, even with bots. So I don't know. I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world if time splitters had regenerating health. I just think that it would be better off if it didn't.
Now, what if they did something like GoldenEye Wii?
Oh, no, because that is Call of Duty. That is exactly like Call of Duty.
I'm not getting into this debate. I don't think it's Call of Duty because of the aspect they put on stealth in that game. And you can hold three weapons at a time, not two. But what I meant is that
right. Vast and sweeping differences between these two games.
Huge difference. But what I meant is that you had three modes where you had regenerated health, and then there was like the most hardcore mode where you had health pickups throughout the stage. So
I could see that because Free Radical is known for making like harder difficulties have more restrictions, more objectives, and that kind of thing.
Just something I kind of miss from shooters.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's just that the enemies take a lot more hits to kill.
In the Chronicles of Riddick game, that game had both health packs and regenerating health at the same time. And you think, what? How does this work? So you'd have like four bars.
Well, and every Halo game besides 2 and 3 also.
Yeah, so you'd have four bars of health.
So Halo 1.
Halo 1, Halo ODST, and Halo
Reach. No. In Chronicles of Riddick, what they had, you had four blocks of health when you could get more. As you went through the game, and so long as a block is not completely gone, it would regenerate. But as long as if it's gone, it's gone, and you need to go find a health pack to get it back.
So it's kind of like the Reach system.
Yeah.
Well, no, not really, because you've got the regenerating health that goes down, and then your proper health which goes down.
Yeah, right. But your health kind of refills to a certain degree if you're not.
Yeah, dead. I suppose.
I know what you mean.
It's like Far Cry 2 is like that, actually.
Yeah. If they did without time splitters, it'd be pretty good. I know, we've spent too long talking about time splitters.
Yeah, it's the game.
EA are going to release like two more Need for Speeds.
Well, we already know about the run.
Well, another one then, because not only is Need for Speed annually, it's biannually.
Well, that's because now they have. Before they would alternate the realistic one from the arcade one, and now they're just doing both.
Yeah.
At the same time. At least this year they did both at the same time, or within a few months.
I don't know. Hopefully Ubisoft will announce some actual video games instead of.
Oh my gosh! I can't wait for Energy and the.
Battle Tag.
The Battle Tag. I've been. Do we know if Joe McHale is hosting the conference again this year?
He might.
I hope so.
I hope so.
He brings such energy and vigor to it.
I thought 2010, their press conference was kind of a bomb, but 2011, I thought it was a lot better.
But 2010, you can't read.
It's because they had James Cameron just
boring
people for an hour.
We're talking about his movie, not even the game.
fun, but he sounded like he was high talking about some mystical thing no one even knew about. Like, it was just the wrong timing. Well, otherwise, his speech would have been pretty good.
I assume we'll see more of BioShock Infinite.
We better do, because I'm actually really looking forward to that. Yeah, it looks really, really, really good.
Well, yeah, because this is probably the last E3 before it, also.
I thought it was coming out summer 2012.
Well, either way.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be very productive having like a massive showing of BioShock Infinite E3 just before its release. I think what they do is what L.A. Noire and...
This is the blowout.
Red Faction Armageddon is kind of pushing it. I think the whole idea why games don't really release in the summer is because of E3, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't think that's necessarily true.
No. I think it's a big factor.
I think part of it is just really people aren't indoors as much during the summer because, you know, summer...
See, that makes... People have more free time during summer.
They have more free time, but that also means that they want to do more stuff. Because, like, winter, like, you know, November is partially because of the holidays, but, you know, snow and cold, and people want to stay indoors and stuff, so they buy video games and it keeps them busy. Where, like, people can stay out until, like, you know, it starts cooling off around, like, midnight in the city, so you stay out until then. You go to the beach every day, the amusement park. You know, there's a lot to do in the summer, and when you
gamers don't go outdoors anyways.
I was just gonna say, I think the video game industry, even though it's quote unquote grown up, still kind of has this mentality of kids being their main audience, and kids are more active during the summer than like their parents and stuff like that. I'm sure gamers would love to have like 5 games come out every Tuesday and they beat it by Wednesday, but we shall see. I would actually think that E3, if you had a game come out in the summer after E3, you kind of get this big push at this conference and people can kind of write hands-on impressions. But at the same time, I get your point, is that if your game comes out in like 2 weeks, nobody's going to cover it because it's like we've covered it to death. It's out in 2 weeks. You can see our review. We'll cover the new stuff that nobody else has. You know, you can't get a demo of like BioShock Infinite in the August.
Yeah. I mean, I think what's going to happen is, you know, we've seen the big fall crowd start more and more and more is getting pushed to early in the year. And then what's going to happen is people are going to start shying away from that early spot and pushing into summer. And that's when we'll start having big summer releases.
This is why I think Rockstar for the past few years has had a really good thing by releasing in May time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a smart strategy. Again, it's something that if you're a smart developer and you realize that your game can sell any time of the year... It works. Nintendo's done it. Rockstar does it. Valve did it with Portal, but that's just because they keep on delaying their games. At the end of the day, you can only have so many multi-million sellers in November, and something gets lost in the shuffle. I couldn't tell you what came out last year, so I won't.
Black Ops.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I guess a good example would be something like Enslaved, or Vanquish, or...
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that comes out and it's like it gets overshadowed because it's out in between like 15 monstrous games.
The best example,
another
actually,
one, Blur's. Alan Wake.
Yeah, well, Alan Wake came out.
Alan Wake would have felt.
Alan Wake, Blur, and Split Second, because they all came out around Red Dead Redemption, didn't they?
Alan Wake was the same day, I'm pretty sure.
Well, there you go.
I mean, that was just, they ran into a juggernaut, Juggernaut.
To be fair to them, I assume they didn't think that I understand it's a Rockstar game, but Red Dead was a new IP as well, so they probably thought that Microsoft branding would have been stronger than Rockstar.
But there was just so much, like, marketing, there was so much coverage, they had to know, like, and it was an overwhelmingly positive vibe. And I understand, like, on some level, they were like, we've been working on this for 5 years, we want to just get it out and not delay it again, but... That really hurt that
This
game.
Is why I'm kind of concerned for Brink and Red Faction, because they're releasing a week before and a week after L.A. Noire. So, Red Faction may be 2 weeks, but they're still like hanging around L.A. Noire, and I don't think it's going to be safe. It's Brink especially, because it's a multiplayer-centric game.
Well, but L.A. Noire doesn't have multiplayer, right? So...
Yeah, but when you like you see Brink and you get this multiplayer game, and then you see L.A. Noire and it's like this 3-disc massive single player game that by Rockstar of all people.
I'm kind of curious because Rockstar is pretty good at advertising. I'm kind of curious to see how L.A. Noire does. Because, I mean, it looks like a really solid game, but I'm kind of curious. I'm sure it's going to do better than Heavy Rain, but I'm curious how much more. Because, like, and I don't
think a lot more than Heavy Rain. How much did Heavy Rain sell? Like a million?
I don't know if it cracked a million, but I could be wrong.
I think L.A. Noire is going to be huge. And one reason why is because I think a lot of film nuts that aren't usually into games are all over this game.
That's true. Yeah, and it was strong. That
gamers are pretty, like, I mean, gamers love Rockstar games in general.
But so that's true. But I always say it, I think it's such a high concept that at the end of the day, people, you know, like, at the end of the game, a lot of game is just like shooting stuff. And this seems like such a high concept game for a lot of people. And I don't want to insult people's intelligence, but I think it is
But we need more games like that.
Yeah, you do need more games like that. But the problem with that is that you don't always have an audience that's receptive to that. Because again,
But you'll never know if you don't test it.
I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. I'm just saying I'm curious to see how it sells because I want to see what type of market this carves out for itself. Because something like Heavy Rain, which was similar in concept, granted, it's on the. We're not going to say what system because then I'm going to go on a run and beating that up again. But yes, on the 360, I think you have a bigger market for it. But again, I think people are going to compare it to.
I'm going to say something very controversial right now. I think L.A. Noire will do better than Heavy Rain because L.A. Noire is actually a video game.
Controversial. I think L.A. Noire will outsell Red Dead Redemption.
Ooh. I am going to take you up on that bet.
I agree with that at all.
Possible. I am kind of curious about that one, too.
I think it should outsell Red Dead Redemption because it will be a better game. But
bold predictions.
I don't think it actually will.
I don't think it will either. Partially because it doesn't have any multiplayer, which I think might have been a minor selling point of Red Dead Redemption, but at least it gave it some type of replayability. And I think L.A. Noire kind of is... I mean, I want to see how it goes more on... But I think it's the type of game that you play once and you're kind of done with.
Oh, will you be picking it up?
I want to. I really want to. But I have a love-hate relationship with Rockstar games.
Oh, that's why I asked.
I buy their games because they always, Grand Theft Auto looks great, Red Dead Redemption looks great, but I don't like their style of gameplay.
They get too difficult, in my opinion.
It's not even so much the difficulty. I think they use some systems that are kind of ancient at this point.
No, I agree with you, and I never liked Grand Theft Auto any number for that reason. And I think the reason why I liked Red Dead was because the older weapons and setting fit the archaic gameplay better.
But it's kind of like this kind of looks different where it seems like it's more you don't have to worry about shooting and running as much. And that's always kind of been my problem with the Rockstar's thing. It's like they still kind of make a game on an engine that's like 10 years old at this point.
And it's a Rockstar game, but it's not their...
The game is great.
It's Team Bondi. It's a different studio.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm really excited for it. The game looks awesome. But I want to get it. It's only $45 at buy.com right now.
Do you know what would improve any Rockstar game tenfold? Is if they made it
fun.
So you just have to hold A to run. Having to mash A while running. Oh my god, why?
That drives me insane.
I don't think A should be involved in that at all. There's an anti-arc stick. We answered this problem 15 years ago in Super Mario 64. Use it.
And people complaining about Kinect and Waggle tiring them out, but
and all Rockstar need to do is learn how to use the A button properly.
And that and the whole gunplay stuff were my two biggest problems. Their engine is that if they ever fix that, I'd love their game.
What's wrong with the gunplay?
They're not going to fix it though because so many people like it.
If you look at Red Dead Redemption, the reason the gun works that well is kind of because of the Deadeye meter. Because when you aim, it's really slow across the crosshair, and you have to drag it and stuff. But if you have
Deadeye, that's what sensitivity is for.
It's still with
rage. It's hard to put a finger on what it is, but there's definitely, its gameplay has major problems in my eyes.
So, I don't want to beat up on it. I think Red Dead Redemption is a fantastic game. I love the setting, and I wish we had more Westerns. It's just not something I love the multiplayer because you didn't have to worry about those problems as much. It's kind of like GTA, where you just stick around with stuff, mess with people in the town and stuff. I can do that for like half an hour and I can have fun with it and not worry about the fact that I'm trying to snipe this guy across the roof and the controls are fighting me just as much as he. That's the other thing I hated about GTA is that after a while, you can only do so many protect this guy, chase this guy down missions before you get tired of him.
Yep.
I was waiting. When I was playing GTA 4 for the first time, I was waiting. I was waiting for the motorbike chase mission because at Rockstar always do a motorbike chase mission and I hate them. And I got it, and I was like, Rockstar, you bastards.
Okay. I guess to finish this up, since we kind of went on another tangent, but this could be related. GTA 5, announced at E3, yes or no?
Yes.
I don't think it will.
Okay, so we have yes, no, and maybe.
I think they'll show a logo and maybe a brief teaser.
Well, they did E3 number 2012. Whatever it was. The GTA 4 teaser trailer was basically that.
You know?
Yeah. That's all they need to do because it's not going to come out before Max Payne 3.
It's amazing because not many other companies could just display a number and have everybody instantly know what it is.
Halo.
Yeah.
No,
the Reach teaser was pretty much that though, wasn't it?
With Halo, they need to have the special Halo font they have. Yeah. They would have to have the number in that sort of font. Whereas Rockstar can just present the number.
Well, theirs is it's more basic, but it's still a certain font. And the fact that it's
Roman numerals, I think.
And the fact that it's Rockstar, you know what that means. You know, yeah, it's not just five by itself.
It's the same way people got excited over Skyward Sword when they sold concept art at a post E3 interview. And people took that for a whole year to talk about stuff. So certain fans are crazy, crazy people. But Chad, you didn't say anything.
I don't care.
There's no Catherine sequel coming out.
Well, I meant you didn't say anything about GTA because I had a yes, no, and a maybe. So we covered the continent.
I really don't care. Grand Theft Auto is irrelevant to me.
Fair enough.
Chad is above the plebeian meatheads that like GTA.
I'm with that. I mean, I'm not going to buy it.
I'll be all over that.
Got nothing to do with some kind of
hatred or
they're not fun. I like my games to be fun.
You see, I find them fun if you're doing anything but playing the game. Like again, if you're just driving around causing traffic, which I think GTA 4 didn't do as well because it took itself too serious. I think GTA 3, Vice City, and especially like San Andreas did a better job of this. But and, you know, just causing random mayhem in the city, seeing how long you can go before the cops bust you. Coding out and they get
I want to see some actual gameplay footage of Saints Row 3 from THQ.
That's a good one. And I'm kind of curious if they'll not do Saints Row for 3DS.
Well, that's kind of in up in air now.
Yeah, because I heard that was delayed. I mean, canceled, but I didn't know if that was like a mobile or the PS and Xbox Live Arcade version.
THQ being very vague on it, so.
It's THQ. What can you expect? I mean, did you see that they are sick? What is it, 150 million this quarter?
Yeah, I saw that. Hopefully.
That's probably because Homefront didn't do as well.
Well, Homefront sold over 2 million, apparently. But
but they were expecting, I think, more a bit arrogantly. But
I think this is what people are kind of getting used to is you can't expect every game to be Call of Duty because they won't be, and you end up with bombs like this. But I think that should do it for Dual World in episode 31. So for Adam from Gamers Cast Podcast, thanks for joining us again.
Oh, no problem.
And for we almost have a full house of members this week, Daniel, Chad, and Jason. I guess Chad's too good to say goodbye.
Oh, goodbye. I'm playing StarCraft, so shush.
Playing StarCraft, mixing the drink, same difference.
I have both of those things, actually.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Yesterday was a pretty big drinking day, and you're still here.
Oh, he didn't drink.
Are you ready to be really proud? I haven't had a drink in like a week.
You're a liar. That's just a knee-jerk reaction. You're a liar.
I'm kind of curious as to why.
Someone said I couldn't, so I was ha-ha.
Is that all it takes? So because I think friends give you interventions and
so
stuff.
So you're not doing it for the better of yourself, Chad. You're doing it just to prove
something wrong. Is there money involved?
No.
He woke
cried
up stuffing.
And cried.
He didn't talk for a day because somebody told him he couldn't. Even though I still thought it was cheating that he commented on his Facebook wall.
So how comes it doesn't work when we say that Chad will never turn up and he doesn't anyway? How comes that doesn't work?
I don't hear that.
So what I have to say is that Chad can't show up. And then he will show up.
I bet you can't show up next week, Chad. Out.
Oh, I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing.
So, yeah. Anyhow, I'm going bye-bye. Go and play me some more Portal 2.
I need to go out.
Yeah, me too.
It is.
See ya.
Step one, you make your console cost the most. You beat your chest and proudly boast. Despite no good exclusive games, you make a bunch of ridiculous claims. Then ignore our need to play online. Don't make it fun like Xbox Live. Use Blu-ray, which I don't need. Now you're getting your ass kicked by the Wii. Sony, you went wrong with your PS3. I'll just keep playing my 360. Hope this song has helped you understand. Now you know how you killed your brand. Bill Harrison, yeah, you know best. Except you didn't beta test. Sure, I can surf the net, but I can't find my gaming friends. Said Halo 3, don't worry you. Instead, you offer Killzone 2. But Killzone 1 sucked before. So what made you think we wanted more? Sony, you went wrong with your PS3. I'll just keep playing my 360. Hope this song has helped you understand. Now you know how you killed your brand.
PlayStation, what we have done successfully over the last 12 or 13 years is to we're going to do some things a little differently. We're going to I don't have any comment to make.
Sony, you went wrong with your PS3. I'll just keep playing my 360. Hope this song has helped you understand. Now you know how you killed your brand. Sony, you went wrong with your PS3. I'll just keep playing my 360. Hope this song has helped you understand. Now you know how you killed your brand.
Yeah, Phil, one question real quick. A lot of players say they want to be able to play online without jumping through a bunch of hoops. Do you have any plans to make the PlayStation 3 not suck as much when you go to play someone else online?
We know that that's a compelling feature for certain players in the certain segments of the audience. But as to specific plans or features, I don't have any comment to make.